paid attention to her, as you say. I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. What else do we have, my brethren and friends, save those things which the Father has given us in his Son, Jesus Christ, bringing us, as we do feel, out of darkness which we were in our flesh, bringing us to the marvelous light of the Son of God, and revealing to us that he, our God and our Savior, is a gracious God, condescending, as the of necessity must condescend when he is concerned with his people whom he chose in Christ before the world began, and with whom he is ever exercised to their good and to their joy, giving them the spirit of joy and peace and reverence in his holy name. It is good to be together again this morning. If the Lord is in our midst, all shall be well. But I'm sure that we realize that we cannot control the things which the Father hath in store for us. And as a matter of fact, we don't know what he has in store for us until he makes it manifest when we come together. I realize, and I'm sure you do too, that all worship is in spirit and in truth, not in the things that men would say that they enjoy, because Jesus and our God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we come feeling to realize that as we come, we are in the very immediate presence of our God. He condescends, he comes down to men of low estate, and surely none of us will ever claim to be anything in our flesh but men of low estate, humbly looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ and our God for that grace which gives us hope of eternal life. We realize that we are nothing but what we are by the grace of God. I so often think of the Apostle Paul said, by the grace of God I am what I am. And without that, we are nothing but poor sinners. We have no hope of eternal life. We have no evidence of the pardon of our sins until the Lord sends forth his Spirit into our hearts and makes us to beg him to have mercy upon us and to lead us and guide us by his unerring spirit and enable his people, among whom we humbly hope we are, to gather themselves together to worship him, to praise, to adore, and exalt and lift up his name above every name that is named. So he has done great and wonderful things for us, as we realize. And no wonder, I thought, as you saying, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause, maintain the honor of his word, the glory of his cross. And if he is pleased to bless us today with this presence of his Spirit, draw in the wanderings of our mind from the vain and the perishing and the foolish things of this life, and bringing up before us his mercy and his grace and his long-suffering, and enable us to be thankful from the very depths of our hearts that he has condescended to men and women of low estate and has sent forth his Spirit into our hearts, and we are enabled to cry, Father, Father. Now may we look to him in a word of prayer. O Lord, hear us. We have nowhere else to go. There is none other that heareth prayer, save thee for God. And we realize that we cannot control even the times of our praying, or the things we pray for. But we realize, therefore, that we are dependent creatures upon thy grace and thy mercy. And sometimes, Father, we know that thou art pleased to condescend to where we are and to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance of the wonderful and glorious things that thou hast done for us. But oh, when we try to worship thee, our God, and thou art not in the matter, we can't worship, we can't even praise thy name. But if it is thy will to send forth thy spirit into our hearts, reminding us and making us to know how gracious and how merciful thou art unto thy people, who, though they don't deserve anything good at thy hand, and yet thou hast loved them with an everlasting love, and gave thy Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem them from all their sins and their iniquities. Father, thou knowest what we, each one here this morning, bowed in thy presence, what we stand in need of. We pray thy will be done. We pray that we might stand still and see thy salvation, because it isn't when we are moving, it isn't when we are striving, that we see thy salvation, but it is when thou art pleased to condescend thyself, Father, in thy spirit, and speak in our poor hearts to enliven us, to make us to have thankful hearts, that thou hast remembered us, such poor, weak, undeserving sinners. We thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast brought us together. We thank thee for the love and the fellowship that is in and among thy people. We know that in us, that is in our flesh, there was no good thing. But when thou art pleased to send forth thy spirit and to bring us out to dark season, which we are often find ourselves in, and makes us to know that thou art ever mindful of us, never forgetting thy people, for thou didst say, lo, I'm with thee all the way, even unto the end of the world. Father, be with us this morning. We're in thy hands. There's nothing good in us, but we desire that we might feel thy presence and with the liberty to preach thy word and to hear thy word and to pray in the spirit of our God. Lord, be with us all the way through this mortal journey, because we realize that we're in thy hands all the time. And thou dost not forsake us. Sometimes thou dost withdraw thy felt presence, and we wonder then, sometimes we wonder if art thou clean gone forever. But when we have been brought to see how vile we are, how much we need the grace of God alone, then thou dost speak once more in our hearts, and we rejoice and are made exceedingly glad. Lord, be with thy people here, be with thy people everywhere this morning. Thou knowest where they are, thou knowest over many places that they're gathered together. Enable them to preach the truth and to contend earnestly for the faith that thou hast delivered to the saints, and not to be carried about by every wind of doctrine, but rather as thou dost lead them, that they might contend earnestly for that faith that thou hast given. Lord, be with us and save us at last. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. Sometime this morning, I suppose it was, I was given to remember that the apostles in 2 Corinthians refer to two places that I know of about the simplicity of the gospel. In the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, but I fear it. Maybe I better commence a little bit before that. commence at the first verse in the 11th chapter. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with me. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. Now I read the first five verses of that second, of the 11th chapter, and I will go back a page or so, in which he also mentions the simplicity. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you all. You remember that the apostle in his travels, as is recorded in the Acts of the Apostles, when he was in Athens, he went there, and he saw many things which stirred up his mind, saw that he told them that they were too superstitious, too superstitious. They did not know, apparently they did not know, God had not been pleased to reveal to them that he was the only true and the living God, and they had no way of knowing it, neither do we, of knowing that he is the true and the living God, except that he, through his Spirit, reveals it to us. And so the Athenians, all they knew was to worship in those things which seemed right to men. And they were not sure about what they were worshiping, because they put up a monument, a tabernacle perhaps it was, to the unknown God. And no wonder the apostle, who had been led out of those dark things into the marvelous light of the Son of God, no wonder he said unto them that ye are too superstitious. Now how simple, my friends and brethren, have we found under the teaching of the Spirit, how simple is the worshiping of God, because it is worshiping in a way that God himself has delivered to his saints. It's in simplicity. It is not with human wisdom. It is not with the things which men glory in, but rather that the Father has spoken in the hearts by his Spirit and enables us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is not worshipped in any other way other than in spirit and in truth. Now we know that, and I want to say this if I can get my thoughts together on it, that this book here, this Bible, as we call it, the Bible or the book, is the most wonderful thing in all the earth. There's nothing like it, nothing to be compared with it. Because this book is after the purpose of God in enabling his people, his servants, to write as he moved them. And the only way that we know the truth, the only way that we know anything at all about the origin of things, what will be the things that take place during our pilgrimage here in this world, and what shall be ours by the grace of God in that world to come. It is because that God himself hath revealed unto holy men of old, as they called it, holy men of old, the servants of God, revealed unto them that to he, what he would have them to record and leave upon record for us, so that as he has left them upon record for us, not only upon record written in the book, but written in our hearts, he has made us to realize that it is not by what we are in our flesh, but what we are by the grace of God in his making us to realize that before the world began. Now, I know that this is something that is impossible for those who have not been taught of the Lord, who have not been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. They can't go back, and indeed I know that's true, because you and I, while we were under the law, we were shut up unto the truth as it was in Christ Jesus. But when the Father has been pleased to reveal, not only in the book as Moses or those that wrote the Old Testament in the first few books, but he also has sent that same Spirit into our hearts, that is, into the hearts of his people, those that he chose in Christ before the world began. He sent that same Spirit into their hearts. And when they read the Bible, when they read these things, and the only way that they can say and believe and confess, I believe these things to be the Word of God, because the same Spirit that caused Moses and all the other writers to write, that same Spirit was sent into our poor hearts so that we know exactly the origin of the world. We know exactly who created the heavens and the earth and who made man. And we need not that scientists or any others might tell us, in their ignorance perhaps, in most cases at least, that they tell us that Man evolved from the lower order. But now, my brethren and friends, what a terrible thing it is for those who know that there is a God in heaven, the only true and the living God, and that he who gives them their breath, who gives them their food. How can they shut up the hearts and thoughts and the minds to the things that God has revealed of himself as it laid down in this book? Everything that is laid down here in this book, God dictated it, if I may use the word dictate. God gave it because it is his will that his people should know the very things that are written here in this book. And so, isn't it wonderful that we don't have to depend upon scientists, we don't have to depend upon learned men, learned in natural scientists, we don't have to depend upon them, but we do of necessity have to have, as God gives his grace and reveals to us that he loved his people with an everlasting love and chose them in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began. I've often wondered, how it is, why it was that all of these things were given to us by the God of heaven. But we wouldn't know if we didn't have the witness within. Don't you know, my friends, that you have the witness within? The operation of the Spirit of God in your heart gives you the witness within. So that as you read what Moses left upon record, and what David, what all Solomon, all the others left upon record, you have in your very being the same witness that these brethren had in that day, so that you could say amen to all the things that are written here, because he has given us to know that he is a gracious and a merciful God, though we have been made also to know that we're unworthy of his notice even, and that we're dead in trespasses and in sins. And so, my friend, I like to read what various scientists say, I like to read what their conclusions are. And right recently, I read in an article in one of the newspapers that was telling about the archaeologists in their digging and their searching. They have found that everything that they have, that is written in this book, they have found these things witnessed by the things that are still in existence, that they can say that this book is the Word of God. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that God reveals in the hearts of His people that they may know and take away from them all their doubts and the fears and their tremblings as to whether this book is the truth or whether it isn't the truth. Now we know, brethren, don't we? Do we not know that if it hadn't been for the Spirit of God being sent into our hearts, when we couldn't reach up and get it, we didn't know even that it existed. But God sends forth His Spirit into our hearts, causing us to cry, Abba, Father, and causing us to realize that we were dead in sins. But He has quickened us who were dead in trespasses and in sins, and not only quickened us, but has so led us as He leads all of His people, and has in every age of the world, and will continue to lead and guide them as long as this world stands, so that by the revelation they know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, and have evidence that they, though they feel so little and unworthy, that they, even they are included in that number that God gave to His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, there's wonderful things, my friends, as you know, that are delivered, revealed to us, and they have to be revealed. We can't dig them out and find them out, the things that God has given us. We just can't do that. God is the beginner of all things. He is the beginner of the revelation in the hearts of His people, so that the writer could say that he was so glad. I can't get the exact quotation here, but he was glad that God reveals these things. God, who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts, they would say. And so, being confident is what I was trying to get hold of, being confident of this very thing, that He that hath begotten the good, begun a good work, yes, thank you, the good work in us, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, I've often said, I hope that I may, as long as I live and stand in this position, that I will contend that it is the Father who reveals Himself by His Spirit these things that we could not possibly know except it is by revelation. Yes, He begins the work. He is the beginner of all things. He is the upholder of all things. He is the finisher of all things. He is the one that has given His people hope. He is the one that has revealed to them that He had loved them with an everlasting love, though they were vile, hell-deserving sinners all the while. And yet, in the simplicity of these things, He speaks in the heart, and they don't have to go about with them various things which those who really know not the truth, that they are superstitious, a lot of superstition in the world, and unless the Father is pleased to reveal to us that He has loved us as individuals with an everlasting love, and that He has sent forth His Spirit, and your hearts, our hearts. Now, there's no mistaking of this, my friends and brethren. Every one of you will say amen to what I'm about to say, if I can say it like I'd like to. And that is that the Father Himself, who is the very beginner, while we're sinners, God had loved sinners and determined before the world began And he gave these sinners, those that he loved, unto his own Son, and who sent his Son into the world for the express purpose, the sole purpose, of redeeming those that the Father had given him from all their sins and their iniquities. Now, there is an evidence that the Father sends in the hearts of every one of his children. There's an evidence, and we go about trying to establish our own righteousness, no doubt. All of us do, to some extent at least. But we have failed, we miserably failed in those things. But when God sends forth his Spirit in simplicity and causes us to stand still, as it were, and to behold the glory of God in this mercy as he speaks peace in the hearts of his people. You remember, don't you, my friends and brethren? You remember the time that you were concerned about what a great vile sinner you were? You tried to find God, you couldn't find him. You tried to beseech him, but you couldn't pray. But the time came when he revealed himself in your heart as your Savior and your God. It was in the simplicity of the worship. It isn't a complicated thing. If God sends his Spirit in the hearts of your heart, you, by that Spirit in your heart, you worship him. And you're not trying to add a whole lot of things to it, but rather we believe and try to understand, as God gives us understanding, that the things that Jesus preached, the things that the apostle preached, these are the things that God has revealed unto all of his people. And so these are simple things. They're not complicated. It isn't something we've got to ask our brethren or sisters about. But if and when God sends his Spirit into our hearts, it just lifts us out of the miry clay. It brings us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And for the first time, when we are born to the Spirit, for the first time in our lives, we know that and have evidence that we are one as individuals. We are one for whom the Lord gave his Son. And the evidence is there. It isn't a mistaken evidence, but it is something that speaks in the heart. And it says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So there is a being born again. We are born into this natural kingdom. But it is necessary for all the children of God that they shall be born again, born of the Spirit of God. And it is in the being born of the Spirit of God that God reveals to them that he is their God and that they are his people. And so, my brethren, it is because that God has done these things for us, not that we've done things for him. All the world believes that God requires us to do certain things for him. We don't know anything about the Spirit until God speaks in our heart. We do not know anything about the way of life and salvation except when God has revealed, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So these are all necessary things because God has fixed it so that they are necessary. But he, my friends and brethren, as we know, he sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of everyone of those that he loved before the world began. And he gave them to Jesus. And so that Jesus came here to do the things that the Father sent him to do. And he knew what those things were. He knew that the Father had given these people unto him. And he knew that he was sent here to redeem them from all their sins and their iniquities. And the only way that God had provided that they should be redeemed was by the atonement that his own precious Son should make for them when he came here and submitted to those terrible things that the Pharisees and the others there inflicted upon him. But we must remember that it was God's will. Who can understand the will of the Father that he gave give his Son, that you and I, we and the Lord, might be brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God? But this is the, he, God is the beginner. Some time ago I wrote an article on the beginnings. And everything that ever has been had its beginning by God, in God the Father, from the very beginning of time, before time began, it had its beginnings. Contradicted this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it, as I quoted. And so he begins it. We're dead. And until there is a quickening, there is no life. There's no spirituality. There's no understanding. They'll not even know that we're sinners. But when God sends forth his Spirit into our hearts, he makes us to see what vile, corrupt beings we are, and causes us to weep and mourn and beg for mercy. And after a while, in God's own good time, because God has a time to every purpose under the heavens, in his own good time, he sends forth that Spirit, and your heart causes a resting, a settling down, a faith there to believe implicitly that by his grace such a character as I am was included. Don't you remember how it was when you were disturbed about what a vile sinner you were? When you were disturbed about what you were in the sight of God, and knowing that God had an all-seeing eye, everywhere present, nowhere absent, you knew that God had that. And you were afraid, and you were ashamed. But God, my brethren, knew these things to make us to realize that it isn't in man to walk us to direct his steps, but it was by the grace of God, the eternal will and the purpose of God, that he sent forth his Son here, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And so, for our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience. Yes. Let me go back to the verse below. Be ye also helping together with prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not by fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you all. And so, we were down, as I mentioned last Sunday, we were down to the Big River Association, although it was the first weekend, and I had done the course going there for many, many, many years. But I do believe that it was a place where the very Spirit of God was. And it seemed that all of those that I heard, I couldn't hear them all because I was in with the association business. But I never have enjoyed, I don't believe, preaching any more than I did there. It seemed that God was in the speakers. God was in the hearers. So that you rejoice to know that all of these things that God promised, he's also revealed in our hearts and given us to know, given us to hope that we were among that number for whom Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died. And so, my brethren, it is in the simplicity, not in something that is complicated any more than that God reveals to us the simplicity of his love and his mercy, and we wonder why that he could love such characters as we are. Have you ever wondered, I'm sure you have, my friends, have you ever wondered why it was that God gave his own Son to redeem poor sinners, and then wonder why it was that he sends forth that Spirit into your heart and gives you evidence that he has loved you, that he is your God, that he has loved you with an everlasting love, that Jesus Christ is your Savior, yes, being delivered for our offenses and rose again for our justification. Friends, brethren, you know there must be justification in the hearts of large people, in the large people, before they can be brought into the fullness of these things that God has prepared for them. There must be Yes, but God takes care of the whole matter. He doesn't say that while we were dead in trespasses and in sins, we should do certain things, as the worldly religions tell us. He doesn't say that. No, but he begins, as I said, he begins the work. He carries on the work, and the end of it is that he gives us hope. Hope of eternal life. Hope of redemption from our sins and our iniquities, because when they have been revealed to us, they were heaped upon us, as it were, and bore us down to the very dirt to the earth, causing us to beg God to have mercy upon us. And we had not known that we were sinners, and God not quickened us. Remember that. Remember that, whoever may be hearing these things. Remember that God quickens. He is the only one that can quicken. He does quicken, but he doesn't quicken the whole world. I know that this is something that people don't understand, they don't believe, unless there is a revelation. But God doesn't give every one of the Adam race unto Jesus as their Savior, to be their Savior. No, he didn't do that. Jesus himself said, you know, I pray not for the world. These are very important things. He said, I pray not for the world, but for those that thou hast given me out to the world. And then Jesus said, all that the Father hath given to me shall come unto me. So there's not a promise that God made to his people. And all of this book and all the things that God has revealed is not a promise that is forgotten or overlooked. But he knows his people. Jesus knew his people. He knew them while he was here. And therefore, my friends and brethren, our God knows his people. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice. And these wonderful things that he does for us, my sheep, hear my voice. I know them. I know them. And they know me. They follow me. A stranger they will not follow. And so it is because that the Spirit of God has already been revealed in our hearts or in the hearts of the Lord's people, so that they can't follow every Dick, Tom, and Harry, every religion that has been founded in this world that on other principles than the things which Jesus and our Father had delivered, because Jesus, my brethren, is the better one that God sent here into the world to redeem his people from all their sin. And so the simplicity, I don't know just exactly how to express that, the simplicity of the gospel, the simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. That's the sincerity. That's the simplicity of it is. And then he says, but I fear lest by any means, as this serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. We have known, as you know, we may be perhaps to some extent have experienced it ourselves, we have sometimes wondered about the truth of these matters, whether the things that we have claimed to be a hope of eternal life and the evidence of God's mercy, whether they really came from God or not. Yes, but God, he knows all about our trials and troubles, doubts, fears, and tremblings, because God is the author of those things to reveal to us, to make us to know that he loves us. Otherwise, we could not know these things. But God is in all of our troubles, every day, every hour, every moment. God leads us and guides us and directs us, so that as we sometimes wonder if we know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus or whether we don't know it. But the time comes and God reveals it again and causes us to rejoice and to be exceedingly glad. Even though the apostle said, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom ye have not preached, whom we have not preached, or if ye have received another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Now, my brethren and friends, there's the one of the writers said, admonishing them that the children of God, the church, contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, not just any faith, but admonish them to contend earnestly for these saints. The apostle says, when he's speaking over before this to one of the other churches, he says, if we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel than that which ye have received, let it be accursed. Yes, they preach things, and except that God gives us grace, my brethren, to withstand and not to follow after those things, he says, let them be accursed. Yes, let them be accursed. But we, the apostle would say, we and Jesus has preached the truth unto you. And if you hear anybody else preach that salvation is by any other word, any other way than by the grace of God, if there is any other Savior than the Lord Jesus Christ, don't believe it. Yes, let him be accursed that preaches anything else. And so, my brethren, I know that we hear many things in our listening and reading literature, or listening to the radio, television, whatever it may be. If you return to page 69, last hymn, Amazing Grace. I am concerned, my brethren, because I have found that it's going to be necessary for me to give up going to the Rock Springs meeting. I have talked with the brethren a little bit, and I have been going, as some of you know, from Rock Springs to Black Rock, to both in the same day. And when it gets dark, I am prohibited from driving my car, except in daylight, and except when I wear glasses, with the exception that I have a half hour, I believe, after darkness, and after the sun's light in the morning. But when the days get short, I can't possibly go to Black Rock in the afternoon, Rock Springs in the morning. So it seems, while it must be, I think, definite, and the brethren at Rock Springs will understand that I won't be able, though I've been going there for 31 years or so, and I don't like to leave. It's home to me, but it's necessary, it seems, so that we will, the Lord willing, hold a Black Rock meetings on Sunday morning, the first Sunday morning, so that when the day the meeting is over, we will have plenty of time to get home and will not be breaking the law. I just thought I would make mention of this because it's something that I'm concerned about, and yet I feel that it is the Lord's will that we should do this. As a young man up in that country that is coming along, he preached for them. He hasn't been ordained yet. He hasn't, I think, he's been licensed, liberated, but they seem to enjoy him. I haven't met him, but I hope that he will be one that will be suitable for them, or that they will keep looking until they find someone to their liking. Now, this doesn't concern you, Brother, so very much, of course, but it concerns me, and I like for my brethren to know what my concerns are oftentimes. Now, amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, and now I see. Let us stand and sing, and while we sing, the mouth an open door for the reception of members.
Thank you.
be that thou hast brought to our understanding all the doctrine of God our Savior, as it is he applies it unto his people, nor in their salvation is by the grace of God. O Lord, lead and guide each one of us as we go hence, and be with us through the further journey of life, giving us grace each day for our needs. And may thy name have all the praise, the honor, and the glory we beg for Jesus' sake. Amen.